Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Arlene Cohen.
And you're listening to the midweek version of Fiber Talk, that twice weekly podcast for people who stab ground cloth until it's,
No, it's that kind of week.
That kind of week. You got it. You got it. Yep, you got it. Let's see. Oh, okay. Right out of the gate, I'm just going to say Debbie Clark, Stitchville, USA in Minneapolis. Yeah. If you need stuff, Debbie what Clark, Stitchville, USA. Mm-hmm. Yep. Covered my butt. Yeah. The working on the Debbie Rowley Glitz and Glamour Opal.
Mm-hmm.
And Dinky Dyes thread and Jessica's and didn't cut one long enough and had to tear that out, then cut another one. That still wasn't long enough. Tear that out, throw it away. Clear that I was, with all the Jessicas for that thread, I was not going to have enough. Cursory run through the world to see if there were any, if that thread existed. Didn't look like it was. Called Debbie. Debbie, help me. Either with a suggestion for a replacement or do you have it? She has it. So
yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Yep. Just waiting for it to show up in the mail. And
I've never visited there, but I've seen some pictures and video, and I've certainly known people who go there, and it does sound like a pretty amazing place.
Yep. I'm just putting that out there. Debbie mm-hmm. Clark, Stitchville, USA, in Minneapolis. Yep. She'll, yeah. Okay. And just for the record, Arlene might have a sniffle or two, and I'm not editing them out, but she's getting sick, and I'm still getting over my massive illness. So there might be a cough or two, and I probably won't get them all edited out. So you'll just have to deal with the real world of Arlene and Gary just going, blech.
Well, I might be doing most of this with a cough drop in my mouth. So no. I'm hoping I'm sounding clear enough here. So
that's the way I did it last week. So, yeah. and speaking of sick, that's why Christine's not with us this week, because she's sick. And we had to get this show done. So Arlene kind enough to fill in, and we appreciate that. Question, a couple of housekeeping things here. Question came up. We had Mary Corbett last week. And once again, if you did not listen last Sunday to Mary Corbett, get on it. Really had a great conversation with her, and, always a treat to talk to Mary. But one of the things that, she has, one of her new things is 1,000 flowers, on silk gauze, little pieces, little needlepoint things on silk gauze or needlework things on. And she put together kits. Well, the kits sold out because, you know, Mary Corbett, of course they sold out. And then somebody, one of the listeners was asking, when are they going to be available again? And so I wrote to Mary, and she said she's waiting for one color to come from France, silk. And she, that was last week. And she's expecting that in the next couple of weeks, so basically by Christmas, end of the year. And then she will do an announcement that the kits are available again. Mary's first attempt at kits, and she bought a mountain of silk, and it sold out. And, yeah, so it's part of the kit world, I guess, is, yeah, how do you guess how much to have?
Mm-hmm.
And then when you're relying on shipping from France, it's another thing.
Those were 40 count silk gauze or 48 count silk gauze or something.
Something like that. Very tight. Yeah.
So do you remember what silk thread she was using?
It was Soie de Paris.
So something that's finer than like a cotton floss.
Yeah. I want to say Soie de Paris or Paris or whatever it is.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what it was. Now you're going to make me look it up, but all right, I'll find it. But I'm pretty sure that's what it was.
I was just the whole world of contemplating the various thicknesses, I guess that's probably a better word for it, of threads and how, not only just the difference between using cotton versus silk, but then also what can work on, like when I've stitched on 40 count silk gauze, I can use one strand of DMC, no problem. But I've wondered, because I have some finer silk gauze, what do you use on like a 48 count, or I think I even have like a 60 count silk gauze?
Oh my.
Because you can't get, or at least nicely, you can't get, you need something finer is what it boils down to. And you need something finer that, you know, would come in a nice color range. You can't, I have a few very fine threads that I use for bobbin lace, but like literally two colors of it, you know?
yeah. No. Yeah, she was 48 count silk gauze is what it was.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
And let's see if she says, pardon me, folks, while I just look this up.
I'll just say, because I'm looking right now on at least the
Soie de Paris, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So 48 count, and then Soie de Paris was the silk. Do you have that?
Soie de Paris?
Yeah.
No, but you know what I'm looking up right now, just as we're going to talk about threads. I have this, it's one of like my Bibles. And there may be ones, books like this, that exist for needlework, but not kept updated. So I have this book, it's called Threads for Lace. And there's this amazing woman named Brenda Paternoster. And she updates this book every year or two. So she puts out new versions of it. And she has this system where she assigns a number to help you determine the fineness of a thread.
Oh.
And her numbering system is how many wraps she can make per centimeter. So she takes something, I mean, she has pictures on her website. It's nothing fancier than, let's say, a popsicle stick. And she wraps it. She does it, you know, with like a magnifying glass and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And the wraps she could get of a thread in a centimeter gives it a number. So the higher the number, the finer the thread.
Oh.
You with me here?
Yeah, yeah. So like, so you just wrap it like satin stitch style.
Exactly.
And then see how long it is, or how many wraps occurred in a length of a centimeter.
Yes.
Yeah, so okay.
Now what brand is, when you say Soie de Paris, is that got a brand name to it?
I assumed it was the same people who do the Auvers-Soie from, yeah.
Soie.
Auvers-Soie, 12 spools of Soie de Paris and 3 spools of Soie Gobelin.
Okay.
So the Auvers-Soie people, they're Soie de Paris and Soie Gobelin. I never heard of that one.
I feel like I've heard that name, Soie Gobelin.
Gobelins.
Yeah, so Krynek does an Auvers-Soie. So maybe these are Krynek. Soie Gobelin.
Well, I didn't know Krynek.
You'd have to ask Mary whether these are a Krynek brand or whether Krynek like imports them and sticks their name on them. I don't know. Let's not say the wrong thing here.
Yeah.
In my book, when you said Gobelin, Gobelin, like with an E at the end, Gobelin?
No, Gobelins.
Oh. Okay.
Because see, Krynek has their own silk. Mori or Mori. This has, and Mary said she was getting them from France, so these are coming from France.
Okay.
These are from the Auvers-Soie people in France.
I'm wondering. So the only thing that I have listed under silk Auvers-Soie, but this doesn't seem right because I know there's more than one Auvers-Soie.
Yes.
Has a wrap, and so there should be more than one listing, which is why, there's another one on this page. Oh, here we go. I'm confused how they have this all listed now. But, all right, so I've got a few things listed. One has got a number assigned of 37. Another one's got a 22. Oh, here's one with a 54, a twist silk. So,
okay.
I mean, so again, when I start hearing about threads, especially fine threads, I always pick up this particular Threads for Lace book because I'm always curious. How does this actually compare with something that I might have in my hand?
Right.
And And so one way, just to put it in perspective, just to the comparison, I think most people words are not working very well for me. A single strand of DMC gets assigned a number of 25. Okay, so get that number in your head. A single strand of DMC is a 25.
So that's kind of your baseline then.
That's your baseline.
Yeah.
So a few Averroes, we'd have to match up exactly the kinds of things, but a few things that are showing up here. So it's probably not the one that says 22. It might be the 37. I wonder if it's even the 54. That's a twist silk. A 54 is a very, very fine thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, it would be interesting to just, that's always my curiosity when it comes to very fine threads, is to kind of just see, well, how fine is that? How fine can you get?
Well, that's interesting. That's an interesting gauge, because effectively a 54 would be half the diameter, half the width of a DMC strand. Holy exactly. smokes, that is fine.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's a good way to think about. And another way to, depending on how familiar anyone might be with sort of your typical sewing thread, like, you know, you're fixing a hem on or a button on a pair of pants or something like that. A typical, looking up, where's the one I use? A typical, is it Madeira that I go to? Well, they say, all right, I think I've got this right, that a typical sewing thread is something like a 39. Like, a typical sewing thread is definitely finer than a single strand of DMC.
Right.
And so if I'm remembering the thread that I use to compare it with, it's about a 39. So something like that.
Well, where does your lace thread, and I realize you have several thicknesses of lace thread, but the DMC equivalent of that, where does that come in on thickness?
Oh, so it totally depends what kind of project I'm working on.
I knew it wouldn't be simple.
Because there's some projects that would be very much finer than DMC. There's some projects that are about the thread is about the thickness of DMC. There's some projects that it would even be thicker than a DMC.
Okay.
So it really is anywhere like that. DMC thread is not like it as the DMC thread that stitchers all know is not ideal for bobbin lace, because it's not twisted very much, for lack of better words, meaning that it works. You could do it. But it does break if you tug too hard. We're not crazy. It's not going to break every single stitch, everything you do. But the couple of times that I tried using DMC, well, I shouldn't say that. There was one time in particular that I was just using DMC to make a quick little motif. And I know I got frustrated because I broke threads. And I just sort of thought, why am I breaking threads? And it's because DMC is not a very finely twisted, like the two, I'm getting the words right. The two plies that make up a strand. Am I right. saying those mm-hmm. correctly?
Yeah.
The mm-hmm. two plies that make up a strand that you don't separate. Like
right.
there's strands, and each strand is made up of two plies that you shouldn't separate. They're not super twisted, which is fine. That's how it's made, and that works totally fine for stitchers. But because they're not super twisted, there's only a certain amount of strength that they have. Whereas like a sewing thread, when you're sewing on that button on your pair of pants, that thread, well, not to mention the fact that it's usually either polyester or coated with something, is a lot stronger because of all the other properties that it has. Either it's finer twisted, it's coated with something, what have you. A lot of the threads that you do end up using for bobbin lace have some kind of strength to them because the either fine – there's a finer twist to them. They're not made up of multiple plies, or if they are, they're more finer twisted. Just all the various properties of thread construction that I'm not super clear on.
Yeah.
So, that's, I mean, again, you can use any thread. You could go beyond thread. There are lace things that have been made using all kinds of really unique and amazing materials, using the techniques of bobbin lace, but without using traditional thread. Now I've got myself way off track here.
Well, do I understand correctly that with threads that you would use for bobbin lace, you don't want a lot of give to them in general, right?
Yeah, that would be for a traditional bobbin lace project. That would be a good way to phrase it. You wouldn't want a whole lot of give because you do a gentle tugging for tensioning. When you're tensioning in bobbin lace, and you know, once you get the hang of it, you don't even realize what you're doing. Just like when you're stitching, you know, you get into a rhythm with your tension, and the tension you use in bobbin lace, you just need it to be able to hold up to the gentle tug that you give it. And again, it's not that like DMC easily breaks. I think just about everyone who's listening right now probably uses DMC, and pretty rarely will it break, you know, unless you've really worn it down in some spot. But just in the way that it might get used in a bobbin lace situation, at least I had an experience once in particular that turned me off from using it on a regular basis. That's not to say I would never use it, but just because, again, just being careful of the how much tension it could hold.
Yeah. But that's the thing is that, and of course, different threads for different applications, because like you don't want a bunch of give with bobbin lace. When you put it in place and pin it, you really want it to stay there and stay at that length. You don't want to give after the fact, because that would really distort the pattern.
Yes. Then it stays. I mean, again, some of it is a little bit about learning the tensioning of it, but also when you put the pins in, they hold it in place. But then when you take the pins out, it sort of all magically stays where it is.
Well, and I guess that's my point is exactly that. You don't want a whole different piece once you take the pins out because the thread stretched or collapsed.
Correct.
Yeah. Yes. Otherwise, yeah, you'd never get it right.
Yes. Correct. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, that's, you know, it's just, so anyway, that's, Mary Corbett will let us know when that happens. But, you know, on the thread thing, you were telling me before we started recording about a couple of experiences you've had recently at a shop.
Yes.
Dealing with threads, which I was really intrigued by. It's kind of a neat idea for getting customer feedback and getting people into your shop.
Absolutely. So I thought this was a great idea and wanted to share it. I think other shop owners should take this idea and run with it. So there's a store not too far from me that is a small store. It's half knitting and half needlepoint, like very much painted canvas. They don't sell blank canvas or any patterns or anything like that. Painted canvas with a lot of threads to go with the painted canvas and knitting. And I've been in there literally all of about two or three times because I knew they carried some Rainbow Gallery threads, particularly Splendor. And I think once I went in there because I was doing a project and I called and discovered they had like Silk Lame Braid or one of the other Rainbow Galleries. And I was so because of that, my email address was on their list and I get their weekly email newsletter. And it's often about their knitting classes and their needlepoint classes. And I'll be honest, it's not a place that I visit very often. That said, some weeks back, and it was probably because of the title that was in the newsletter that made me open the email. I'm like, this is a really interesting idea. So I hope some other shops take advantage of this. They were having, I'm pretty sure they called it a thread taster class, like a wine tasting class. It's a small store. They jokingly talk about how many square feet, and I want to say it's like 900 square feet. It's not a big store, but they take advantage of pretty much most of their nooks and crannies to hang threads wherever they can.
What is the store? What's the name of the store?
So it is called Knit One Stitch Two in Pennington, New Jersey.
Yeah.
they have, and one thing they've said is that any thread line that they have, they carry the whole color range, with a few minor exceptions, like when they're doing a class project and they get in some thread just for that, and then they have extras kind of thing. But in general, any thread line that they carry, they want to be able to carry the whole color range. So they were doing this thread taster class where for all of $10, come in and literally try out all of the thread lines that they have.
Oh.
And I thought this was a neat idea. And so, I mean, it's a small place. The size was limited to 8 because that's how many could sit around their class table. And they gave us each just a scrap of blank canvas. And they went through each of the thread lines that they have. You know, they started with some of the Rainbow Gallery ones, like Glisten and Silk Lame Braid. So some of the Rainbow Gallery ones that I was certainly familiar with. And then some of the ones that I've seen, I, again, not being a painted canvas person, haven't had a real reason to purchase.
Mm-hmm.
But neat to get, you know, they gave us each, half a yard or so of each kind. And they said, here, do a few stitches, do whatever you want. And they, you know, gave us the background information. What is it made of and all this kind of stuff, how much you get per skein or per however it comes. And so things like Silk Road fibers, it's silk. It's called straw silk, and it almost looks like a ribbon, but you can break it apart. So if it's too thick, you just make it half the size. And you could do like all kind of dimensional stuff with it or lay it like a ribbon. I mean, it's a really interesting fiber to use. Pepper pot silks, which I've heard of before, vineyard silk, planet earth silk, silk and ivory, planet earth wool. I'm reading down my list here. Another planet earth that was silk and metallic. So it was a fun hour and a half of just playing around with threads and just to be able to compare. I mean, even as you heard me say, a bunch of them were silks. I mean, this is clearly a store that likes their silks. clearly they must, you know, respond to their customer base. I mean, clearly, this is what must sell. Okay.
Right. Right. Sure.
But even to have, and I'm looking at them right now in front of me, even to say all those are silk, there's quite a variety in what those all are in terms of their thicknesses, in terms of how tightly twisted they are, the sheen. Some are more matte, some are more shiny. The ones that had like a metallic thread running through them, the differences between those. I mean, it's just a fun idea. And I think plenty of needlepoint stores that have this kind of, you know, variety of thread lines should consider doing something like this. And actually what they said is that they'll be running it again sometime in January because they definitely had the interest. They had people who called and said, I can't make it on such and such date. Can you run it again?
Sure.
It was a great idea. And I wondered how, I was just trying to think, my what I really refer to as my LNS, my Needleworker's Delight, which is much more geared toward the cross-stitch world. Although they do have some needlepoint, they definitely have counted canvas. They have all fabric and certainly blank canvas. I wonder if they did, because they have quite a number of thread lines, how a class like this would play out in a store like that, because, you know, to compare, I'll just throw it out, like Weeks Dye Works and, you know, Gentle Arts, all right, those are basically the same basic thread. That's just color differences.
Right.
So that isn't worthy of a class, so to speak. But does that store, and I don't have the answer off the top of my head, have enough different types of threads that would be an appealing, you know, to do a little class like this, give everyone half a yard, some scrap of fabric, play around. What is the different effect of this thread versus that thread? It's just an interesting thought.
Here's a thought. If there were coming up in the near future, a retreat in New Jersey.
Yes.
And if you were to offer a similar event, you know, pay $5 and go into a room and do these things. You know, that could be a nice combination. But you'd have to get the retreat in New Jersey, and then that might be something.
So what Gary is not so subtly hinting about right now.
I don't know the schedules in New Jersey, but, you know, if there is a retreat coming up.
So what I'm thinking about right now is that, as a matter of fact, there is a retreat coming up in New Jersey.
Oh, really? Oh.
Really? I am. So I will go ahead and share with everyone who is listening right now. There's, I guess we're going to call it the second annual. Am I going to turn this into an annual event? I don't know. If it happens two times, does that make it that it's going to just happen forever and ever?
Momentum is in that direction, yes.
Mm-hmm. So this past May, I organized the New Jersey Floss Tube Retreat 2018, and I am running again New Jersey Floss Tube Retreat 2019. It is happening in August. It is at this time full, but I am happy to take names for a wait list. And I just, as I shared on a Floss Tube video from a few weeks ago, from absolute real world knowledge, it is so worth to put your name on a wait list for this or for any event. Anytime somebody says, put your name on a wait list, you just never know as things play out. So just know that at this time I don't have spots, but I also know from experience last year that people's schedules changed and they needed to bow out. And if I have names on a wait list to turn to, all the better. So just basic information. It is August 2nd through 4th, so Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Some people will plan on coming like Thursday night so that they are there, you know, first thing Friday morning. Other people won't come till Friday afternoon, evening because they need to work. That is fine. When we say stitching retreat, it literally means get together and hang out and stitch. There are not any formal classes, although Gary is suggesting something here. I don't know. We'll see what we do, if anything.
I just, you know, pops into my head. That's all I can do.
The retreat is being held at the Hampton Inn Woodbridge, which is in New Jersey, and it is about 4 miles away from Needleworkers Delight, which is also Silk Weavers, the home of Silk Weavers Fabric. It is a very large store that has lots of stuff and fabric and threads and charts and all kinds of stuff. They are the Zweigart distributor one of those Zweigart distributors in the U.S. So they have all the Zweigart products and things you didn't even know that you needed. So I'll just say, if you are interested in any of this, you can email me at, so the email I'm using for this is njflosstuberetreat@gmail.com. So if any of that sounds interesting, you can be in contact with me through that channel.
And I'm planning to be there. If you still held me a spot, I don't know.
Absolutely. I'm counting on you.
Yep. You're in my... And then you posted yesterday, today, sometime about flying to Newark. Do not fly to the other New York airports. And I read that and I just freaked out that anyone would consider the other airports. Do not go to LaGuardia or Kennedy. Do not do that. It will cost you a fortune to get across town to get to New Jersey. Don't do it.
And then again, just for any, but that's, and you know what, this happened last year also, that somebody contacted me just asking the question, and it also happened last year. And that's for someone who literally has never flown to this East Coast or to that area before. And you go on a generic, you know, plane ticket website and they ask you, do you want to consider other area airports? And if you don't know any better, you know, you look at the mileage, and especially if you're coming from a distance and if it saves you, I don't know, some significant money, you think, well, how bad could 10 miles be? It could be really bad.
Okay. It could be a $125 cab ride or more is what it can be. Don't do it.
So that's why, like I said, this came up last year. It came up again just recently in the email. So that's why I had posted that because the hotel where we are, I think it's 10, 12 miles from Newark Airport. Very, in the grand scheme of things, very convenient to Newark Airport. So in no way believe any ticketing website that wants you to consider the other other New York City area airports. Not worth it. Nope. There are times when you're flying, you know, you might input Newark, but you really could consider the other airports. This is not one of those times.
Not even close. No. No, cool. And I learned the lesson. The reason I know is I learned the lesson the hard way. The company did. It wasn't my money. Most of my business tends to be in the New York, New Jersey border area. And a lot of it is at Javits Center. So I fly to Newark all the time. Mm-hmm. And people trash Newark Airport. It's fine. It's not a dump. It's fine. It's a fine airport to land in. But I did not pay attention one time, and I had an event in New York, and I couldn't tell you where it was right now, but all I know was I got in the cab and said where I needed to go, and the driver looked at me like, what are you doing? And I hadn't even looked at a map. I didn't even bother. It was just fly me to New York. That's where I always go because, mm-hmm. and you know, how bad can it be? It was bad. It was bad. And then coming back, I hired a limo because it was going to be a little cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
And the advice then was, well, we need to leave by thus and such to make sure you make your flight. Yeah, just don't do it. Fly to Newark. Trust me. And I'm sure when I turned in the expense report, there was a raised eyebrow or two, like maybe you might look at a map once in a while. So, yeah. So, but that, you know, a thread thing like that at a retreat, that might be fun.
Mm-hmm. We'll see where that goes.
Okay. Because I put that out there because then it gives you one more thing to do.
Yeah, because I don't to do to prepare for the retreat. And I mean, the truth is the experiences I've had at retreats last year, or I shouldn't say this past, at the New Jersey retreat this past May, and then at StitchCon in June, just the experience of being with stitchers, of enjoying each other's company, of visiting and, you know, visiting table to table and seeing projects that people are working on, being enabled by the projects they're working on, the trips to the local store, you know, in New Jersey, it was Needleworkers Delight, in StitchCon, it was Keepsakes. I mean, you could fill a whole weekend. Just the days go by very quickly, in all honesty, with all of that. And the one of the things I wrote in talking about the New Jersey retreat is, and still calling it the Floss Tube retreat. And I wrote, you don't have to make Floss Tube videos to attend. I wrote, I hope you are part of the FlossTube community, and that means watch FlossTube videos, hopefully maybe comment on videos. And yes, a number of people who make videos are attending, because to me, being a part of this community has just meant such a great deal over the past year and a half, almost 2 years. And it's just been such a wonderful experience. And so some of the people that might have met in person for the first time, it wasn't like I was meeting them for the first time. And that alone was just, it was like you could launch into conversation and it wasn't like you were just meeting somebody brand new. And that alone was a wonderful part of the weekend. And that's a piece of a stitching retreat that may feel different from one retreat to another. The Floss Tube retreat and this theme also played out at StitchCon as well, that there was sort of an overlying connection among many people about a connection through FlossTube, that it's a wonderful connecting factor. And it's because you see some people on videos or you've been writing back and forth through comments or something like that. And that has just, you know, made such a difference. So,
yeah, correct me if I'm wrong. Now, there are these retreats being held all across the country, and just keeping your kind of your ear to the ground, you can pick up on them. A lot of Facebook is a way to do it, but they tend to come out of the FlossTube cross-stitch community, but that doesn't mean that you have to do cross-stitch to go to these things.
Correct.
I mean, you can do whatever you want. It's just a gathering of stitchers. and usually affiliated with a store, and a weekend of people getting together who all like the same kind of thing, needle and thread and ground cloth.
Yes. Although, I mean, these are the ones that we might be hearing about in the last few years because of floss tube and all that. But the concept of a stitching retreat is certainly older than floss tube.
Right.
And like another, so Needleworker's Delight this coming spring has taken over an event that I think this might be the 10th year of it in its existence. And the quote owners of the event, either they're moving away or there's a reason why they no longer, she, an individual or multiple people. And there's multiple events that are called Stitch Fest. I believe this one is called Stitch Fest, a New Jersey Stitch Fest. And it's large. We're talking like a couple hundred people. It had been going on, I think, like I said, for like 9 years at a particular location, and either the location could no longer work, the people weren't running it, were moving away, and were ready to drop it. And Needleworkers had always was a vendor at it. And they agreed to kind of take it over. And they found a new venue to have it at where they could take more people. And it is now like, it's just a one day thing. Come for one day and stitch. And I believe they're doing it at like a conference facility, so they could take about over 200 people. And what they were joking about, I don't know if it's literally going to be like this or whether it was a joking thing, that we're going to put the needle pointers in that room and we're going to put the cross in that room. But we also know the knitting is going to come out at some point during the day, because when your eyes get too tired to focus on your cross stitch or the needle point, the knitting comes out. So yes, I mean, people bring and the other thing that came out about Stitch Fest, this particular Stitch Fest event, is that it was, and I don't know the history or why it was, it's more needle pointers than cross stitchers. So however it originated, however it started, there seems to be more needle pointers than cross stitchers at it. So, and again, that's just a one day thing. I think it's in May. It may or may not be full, but I'll go ahead and put a little plug in for it. You could contact Needleworkers Delight, Metuchen, New Jersey, look up their website and see if there's still space, if it's something you're interested in. Again, it's just a gathering of a whole bunch of stitchers. And
yeah, you're right. The retreats are nothing new. I mean, the Fox Needlepoint chapter that I belong to, they have one every year at the same spot. And that thing sells out within, you know, a couple of days after they announce the thing. I mean, it just sells out. There's only so many seats in it. That's it. And, but yeah, they're all over the place, but you know, I'm always thinking of people who are new to the hobby, and, just was reading a post last night. It was, somebody who was new to the hobby and asking the basic questions, how do I figure out where to start on a piece of cloth? Mm-hmm. You know, those fundamental things. And so I always think about those people because there's a pretty good churn of new people into the hobby. Mm-hmm. And those people always have the same questions. Well, and these retreats are a way for them to meet fellow stitchers, to get advice from experienced stitchers, you know, face to face. And any more people who don't have local needlework stores but have connected with the hobby through the internet, you know, this is a way to connect with people, you know, real live people, or like you said, people that you've exchanged or watched on FlossTube. This is a way, and I should always put in or listen to on Fiber Talk, this is a way to meet them and to really see what other people are stitching, see the techniques that they use. I got to believe now, I've not been to one of these floss tube ones, but I got to believe that even you, with your experience, every time have picked up some idea for how you might approach something differently.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah. So they're just a neat thing, and if you're at all interested in looking for a weekend out, you know, a girl's weekend out is effectively what they are. It could be a really fun thing to do. And
I'll say, Gary, with you coming, New Jersey Floss Tube Retreat might break all records, and have 3 male attendees.
Oh, no, this could not be right.
Three. Yeah.
Three.
I do not know of any other weekend retreat of this nature that has had three.
Wow. Wow.
Yep.
Okay, me and who?
I don't know if I should be saying this.
Okay. Yep. Wow, three.
It'll come out eventually.
Three. It'll we may have to get our own room. You know, you know, male stitchers in this room, female in the other room.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. No, probably not.
Yeah.
Wow, three. Oh, man. Oh, all right. We'll take it.
Okay.
So, okay, so that's coming up. But, yeah, just retreats, especially if you're new to the hobby, a real good way to meet people and just and it's, you know, to see what people are stitching, see how they go about it. And people always have questions about, you know, what do you use for a stand? What do you use for lighting, magnification, all those things? And you get to see all that stuff.
And you see, and especially, I knew when I had first, the whole idea of it, the whole idea of even, could I do a retreat? The geography of the East Coast, I knew last year was in October when the first one got born. The geography of the East Coast would be appealing to many because, while, yes, we were just talking about the whole airplane thing, the reality is the majority of people will be driving because I've got people coming from the entire East Coast.
Sure.
But many of them are driving. And, yes, there are people flying in. But because people are driving, they're going to bring all the stuff. Their stands and their magnifiers and their, you know, big projects on scroll rods and all that kind of stuff. And so you do get to see the different ways people work. And I just, that especially for, I think is such a valuable experience. I mean, I really enjoyed walking the room and seeing the different ways that people worked on their projects.
Right. Well, and you hesitated to say beginner, but it really isn't just beginners. Anybody who stitches can pick up a technique or an approach from someone else at these things that would help them or at least give them a different way to look at something. Mm-hmm. And that's valuable to me. At least to me, it's extremely valuable because even if you don't implement that technique or approach, somewhere down the line, you might go, boy, if I had a way, somebody else did it this way. I bet that would work for me. And you can solve a problem. So, yeah.
The enabling that goes on, you know, a group of people go to the store and
you
come
think?
Back what they think. Or just, you know, the ideas they get born. Somebody is getting ready to start a project that they just bought at the store. And the whole conversation about the weather, which you and I had talked about at one point, the weather anchor black thread covers better than DMC black thread. And at one table I was sitting at that conversation and there's someone who was getting ready to start a project and it had a lot of black in it. She's like, I just want to do this in anchor. And somebody just reached over and handed her a skein of black anchor and said, here, go ahead, use it. I'm going back to the store tomorrow. I'll get another one. And, you know, that kind of atmosphere is so wonderful because there it was, you know, that you could do things like that at a retreat that, you know, that you take advantage of those kind of moments is just.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So absolutely. There we go. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, one more housekeeping thing, and then I have this topic on.
Oh, wait, but I never talked about the second thread class, though. And I did want
to mention. Oh, my. Oh, well, then let's talk about the second thread class.
Just very briefly, just because I did think this was a great idea to share with other stores. And this idea certainly could work for a needlepoint store or a cross-stitch store. So sort of related, but really is a second completely offshoot of the first threads class. The same store had a second thread class where they are considering bringing in some new threads. And I'm still not sure where they're planning to put these new threads or new thread line because, like I said, they've already used so much space. But they had a few ideas they were talking about.
The ceiling, yeah.
Yeah. But they were interested in getting customers' opinions. So it was, you know, like a focus group. And so they invited anyone who was interested to come to, I mean, like they called it a focus group? I forget what they called it. And they had a few, and it wasn't like thread A and thread B were exactly comparable and we will definitely get either thread A or thread B, give us your vote. It wasn't that. They were five or six different things and they may or may not get how many of them. They just wanted our opinions on these different threats. And it was really fascinating to sit around the table. And they, again, gave us a scrap of blank canvas, you know, a piece of each, and said, stitch whatever kind of stitches you want. They were particularly interested in looking into bringing in, they have Splendor, like I said, the full line of Splendor. They were interested in bringing in another stranded, and then the debate cotton versus silk to have in the store. This is a store that does not sell DMC. They're not interested in having the DMC line. It just, for them, it's not worth it. They say there's a Michaels down the road. People will go there. They want something different. And so they were, they had a couple different things that they were debating. One thing that I had been sharing with Gary beforehand, something I hadn't seen, I'd seen a long time ago, I didn't even realize it still existed, is a thread put out by Madeira called Mouline. It, at least I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. It is a six-stranded cotton. It comes in a package, a plastic package with like a, it's clear on the front so you could see it, but then again, you are looking through plastic. It is a very unique packaging system in that it doesn't get tangled. Like you make a little cut at the bottom and then you pull from the bottom and it perfectly pulls out. So you have no, you don't need to bobbinate anything. You don't need to put it in a plastic baggie. It was very interesting. Get a lot of conversations around the table of how it does or does not compare to DMC. You know, how many strands would you use it on canvas work and so on. It comes in like 350 colors. I mean, it's fairly comparable color wise to like a DMC line and cotton. So it's not that expensive. And, you know, from the store's perspective, it would be something different that they would carry. I will be very interested to see if they end up using that. Just because I think it's something different and unique. And we were trying to decide, is it shinier or more matte than DMC? Like we couldn't even quite decide. But it was a different kind of thread. She also had, they carry other planet Earth, threads. She had a six stranded, silk. So there's your six strands, but it's a silk. So obviously different price point. We were debating the whole price point thing. You know, the couple of us at the table who were not really painted canvas people obviously had a very different point of view from the cost perspective. There were a couple of painted canvas people at the table that might have a very different take on that. It was very interesting. There was one particular thread, which I kind of don't want to say the name because I don't want to offend anybody who loves this thread, but it was very interesting because she handed this one out. She was very excited about this because she had used this thread. She'd gotten some of it in a project that she had. Like she had it there in front of us. It was a painted canvas of a bunny. She used it in the background. She loved it. And she was very excited to bring it into the store. She gave us each a piece of it, and without question, everyone around the table hated it. Like we hated using it.
Oh my.
It was like coming apart. It was like partial metallic, you know, it didn't actually say on the tag what it's made of, but you know, some sort of like non, you know, what do you call it? You know, not cotton, not silk. It's
synthetic fiber type thing.
Synthetic fiber type thing. Beautiful metallic looking thing. It looked beautiful on her stitch piece. And she said she had no problem stitching with it. We all had problems. Just whatever little stitch or whatever little thing we were doing on the canvas, it was coming apart on us. And like we all, and I mean, the advantage of it is that it had many, came in many colors, but we all said it was not pleasing to stitch with at all. So like there was a great example of why you bring in customers to like test out threads, that while the owner enjoyed using it, she had, you know, half a dozen of people sitting in front of her who all agreed they didn't like it, which is very interesting.
Well, so, yeah. And that translates to frustrated customers down the road. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So,
write to Arlene for the name of it.
Yes. If you're interested, I'm happy. I you know, again, there might be people who love this particular thread, so I don't want to, yeah. I wanted to share these experiences with people, especially if there's some shop owners listening or something. I think this is a great idea to, if you are considering bringing in some new threads, or especially like if you feel like you could bring in one new thread line and you're not quite sure, you know, bring together a focus group of people, and particularly don't necessarily just invite your regulars. I mean, this was put out in a newsletter, and I know I, for one, am not a regular there. And there was definitely another woman who clearly was, you know, saw it, like me, kind of saw it on an email newsletter and thought this is an interesting idea. A couple of the others were very clearly their regulars. You know, they knew their first names and everything. But I think I'm hoping we were able to help them out with the opinions and the feedback we gave them. And I will definitely follow up in a little bit of time and see what they've ended up choosing and going with. And it'll be interesting. So just some thoughts to share with the folks out there that, so it was, I thought those two experiences were really very enjoyable and encourage other shops to consider doing something like that.
You know, and that brings to mind, you know, people will say that overdyed six-stranded cotton threads, that some cover better than others.
Mm-hmm.
And people, I've seen that debate about Anchor versus DMC, which mm-hmm. covers better and different colors don't cover as well. You know, that would be an interesting thing to do, would be to just go buy some skeins of different overdyed threads and then DMC and Anchor and just do some cross-stitching.
Yeah.
Just do a row of each on just a piece of scrap. Because mm-hmm. that would be, you know, that would be an informative sampler to have.
Yep.
If you're, you know, if you're coming up on a project and it calls for thus and such thread, and then you could look at your little sampler and say, all right, maybe I'll find a substitute because for me that didn't cover as well.
Mm-hmm.
Or that covered really well. I definitely want to use that, and I might just try and find that for other colors in the project. You could build up a nice little sampler sheet that, or a piece of cloth that would really be, I think, be helpful. And you know, or and if you don't always stitch on 40 count linen, you know, you do different sizes, do it on different sizes, just to scrap. Mm-hmm. But this whole thread thing. You know, I mean, you could obviously get bogged down in it and spend an awful lot of time just analyzing threads. But I think that there is some benefit to spending some time just working with threads.
Yes.
Not to do as a project, but just working with threads to see what, because there are so many. There are just so many options anymore. And mm-hmm. and you're not tied to the ones that are specified in the project. And there just is so many that to have an understanding, you know, particularly if you cross-stitch and use DMC, to have an understanding of what some of these others are and how they might work for better or worse, it'd be worth an afternoon just to play around and just a few skeins and just see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, okay, now let me do just one more thing, and we got to wrap up. This happens every time, Arlene, every time. Okay, I want to get this in. People who know Gene Lee at the Attic, they did not have a newsletter, I don't think, in November. So then they just released a newsletter, November-December newsletter, 57 pages. So
yes.
If you're at all interested in samplers and or cross-stitch, it's 57 pages of nothing but solid photos of beautiful things.
Mm-hmm.
So go download that. You just go to the Attic website. And there's a newsletter thing. The website, I don't think they even bothered keeping up anymore. The only thing that really matters is that newsletter. So go to the newsletter page, download that 57-page monstrosity, and then just put your feet up and enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the messages, if for those who may or may, you may or may not know that Gene Lee has been fighting cancer for many months. And a post in there, and I've been watching the newsletter for things. So a post in there from Gene, and I'll just read what Gene wrote. I have wonderful news to share with you. No more regular chemo treatments, but a year's worth every 3 weeks of Avastin infusions, a drug that studies show stays off the recurrence of stage 3-4 ovarian cancer, which is what I have. And it's nice that she's able to use the word had in the sentence. Yeah. I have so much to be thankful for this holiday season, for God's grace, for all of you who have supported, encouraged, comforted, prayed for, cheered me on, and continue to do business with the Attic, and for my amazing staff who, with oftentimes Herculean effort, kept things running smoothly and our customers happy. So that's tremendous news for one of the real icons in the hobby, Gene Lee, and one of the truly great stores that she seems to have found her way, and I'm sure it's been a battle. Lost her hair, you know, the whole thing. Now to the other side of cancer, and it looks like things are under control. So that's just fantastic for her, and really was glad to read that. What a tremendous lady, and you know, nobody wants to go through this, and it's really a great thing when people are able to get on the other side of it. So good for Jean, and good for everybody affiliated with her family, the whole bit. That's just fantastic. Yep. And go download that 57-page thing, because I'm telling you,
there's some beautiful things in there, no doubt about that.
It'll cost you money, though. I'm you know, heads up, it's going to cost you money when you download it. Okay.
Well, no. Just to be clear, downloading it is free, but you're going to find things that you're going to want to buy. That's right. What Gary means, that it's going to cost you.
Yeah, money. That's where it will cost you. Yes. Yeah. It's the candy's free, but yep. It will cost you. Okay, so we have two topics I want to talk to you about, but it's going to take much more time. So the next time that we are able to do one of these things, we're going to talk about those topics first.
Okay. Can I just put in one quick little plug here?
Like for Works by ABC and how you have your charts on Hoffman Distributing? Yeah, you can tell all about that. Yeah, we have time for that.
Great. So as I think if you have listened to me here on Fiber Talk before, know that I design under Works by ABC, and I am excited to share, as I have shared on my FlossTube videos and my blog and a few other places, that I've been picked up by Hoffman Distributing. And I actually had some people ask in a very genuine way, what does that mean? How important is that? So if you've never thought about before, a local needlework store, how do they get all the patterns that they sell in their store? And there's a variety of ways, but one way is through distributors. And the largest distributor in the US, I think I'm saying this correctly, is Hoffman Distributing. So designers sell to one way that designers can get their patterns out is to sell through to distributors, and then distributors sell to the stores. And the advantage to stores is that they can buy from a bunch of designers and only pay one shipping price. The advantage to designers is that, you know, they just can get their patterns in multiple stores in one, you know, one fell swoop. So I'm excited to share that I've been picked up by Hoffman. I've gotten everything sent to them, or sort of the first wave, which just occurred this past week. I was in their Friday update. This midweek show will be posted. If you go to the Hoffman Distributing website and go to their homepage, every time you like click refresh, it'll show different things, but some of my patterns show up every single time you click refresh, which is really fun for me to see. I mean, that'll change next Friday with the next Friday update. One thing I'll put in the plea for is if you have a local needlework store, please encourage them to give me a try, order some patterns. Through Hoffman, you can still order my patterns from my Etsy store, and anyone can contact me individually. But in terms of ease of ordering for stores, they can also now also get my patterns through Hoffman. And that's just a great step for me as a designer in terms of getting my work out there. And I am just really excited about that.
For someone who in the not too distant past was just kind of roughing in designs, and then had a few to put into an Etsy store, and then just kind of developed things as you went along here, what did it feel like to have to print off a whole bunch of charts and box them up and send them to the biggest distributor in the hobby?
Well, it was a big
project. How fast was the heart beating?
It was exciting. It was a big project to get that done.
Yeah.
It's exciting. It's exciting to have seen, on their website that the whole box it up and ship it out is just, it's done in isolation. You know, what really did it for me is seeing myself on their website, and actually not even just seeing myself there, is when I started getting messages from people that I'm also on 123 Stitch. So the 123 Stitch website is a large online store that lots of stitchers are aware of, and people just must check that website all the time, because I had probably half a dozen people message me saying, did you know your patterns are 1-2-3 stitch now? So 1-2-3 stitch clearly, you know, picks up from Friday up. So this was just this past weekend. 1-2-3 stitch clearly picks up from Hoffman weekly updates and is willing to get anything from Hoffman. And if my patterns were on Friday weekly updates, 1-2-3 stitch was putting them on their website, which was pretty cool. So that was the
validation that you'd found a new level with your designs.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah.
I mean, I just think, you know, just from a pure hobbyist perspective, what fun, you know, what fun and what a sense of accomplishment to be able to get to that level. Because, I mean, you've been working on these things off and on and, you know, as you have time, and then in the summer worked pretty hard. You really did a lot this past summer. Mm-hmm. And to, you know, you can sell them, you know, anybody can sell stuff on Etsy. That can be done. But, mm-hmm. to be picked up and in by a distributor and know that stores all across the country can pick up, can get your line now. Just from a pure hobbyist perspective, it's like, yay, Arlene, you know?
Thank you. Yeah,
that's pretty cool. Yep. Good for you.
Thank you.
So when's the new line of designs come out?
I'm working on it.
Let's go, Arlene. Come on. Now you started this.
I am. There's been lots of things going on in life this fall, but my current goal is going to be early January. That's what I'm aiming for now. So,
all right. New designs in January, 20 of them.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Maybe not that many.
Okay.
But I'm working on them.
Well, that's great. No, I just think it's fantastic because you've kind of battled your way through here to, get to the point where you have enough that you could even offer a distributor and then to get picked up and, yay for you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. Sunday. Yeah. Now we really have to wrap up Sunday. you and I do this every time. Cause you know, usually it's an hour ish, mm-hmm. but we go over. Yeah. It's always so much fun to talk to you. Always. It's not a bad thing. I'm just saying that, you know, the time flies. And then I look up at the meter on the recording software. It's like, holy smokes, where'd that go? Yeah. So that's okay. That's good.
Yeah.
Now, I, of course, counting on the fact that people are still hung in there and are still listening to us, but hey.
I hope they are.
Sunday, Linda Stoltz is our guest from Erica Michaels Needle Arts Designs.
Awesome.
So Linda Stoltz, tremendous conversation with her. And you and I have talked about silk gauze.
Mm-hmm.
I tell a story. She has a design called Prince of Peace. And I tell a story, my story about that, and I'll just let that be for Sunday.
Okay.
But it's one of her designs that's on silk gauze. And I didn't intend to do this, but I wrote to Debbie Clark at Stitchville about some thread. And I asked her if she carried silk gauze. And then I asked her if she had this pattern as two separate questions. And I said, I want the chart. And you'll learn from the Sunday show why I want the chart. Well, she's sending the chart. And then I asked, do you have silk gauze? Because I was just curious whether she carried it.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently without, you know, it's fine. But a kit is coming for this particular chart, this Prince of Peace chart. That is done on silk gauze.
Mm-hmm.
So you and I have talked about silk gauze more than once. And last Sunday, Mary Corbett and I talked at length about silk gauze. And so intentionally, unintentionally, I'm going to have a project with silk gauze. So I'm going to get to experience this this ground cloth. It should be interesting.
I can't wait. We'll definitely need to have another conversation once you've gotten started with it.
Oh, yeah. Guaranteed. Because that beautiful piece you did, what was that won all the awards? What was that called?
A Spanish seven year.
That one. I mean, that just gorgeous thing, all on silk gauze. Just to me, one of the most stunning pieces I've seen. I mean, you know, not to suck up to you, but I mean, I just, even as we watched you week after week, post your progress, just gorgeous piece, and silk gauze, all on silk gauze, and so I'm gonna experience that a little bit with this one. So that'll be fun.
Yeah, I can't wait. Can't wait.
I'll be calling you. So, okay. Sunday, Linda Stoltz, Erica Michaels Designs. Thank you, Arlene, for filling in this week. And worksbyabc.com Etsy store, works by ABC, and now Arlene's designs at Hoffman is distributing, which means you can go to your local needlework store and say, hey, I want those works by ABC designs, all of them.
Awesome.
That's how we're going to do it, all of them. You just buy all of them. That's how that works. All right, thanks, Arlene. Thanks to everybody. And Christina, I'll be back next Wednesday.
Take care.